While growing up in the Bronx during the 50s, Oscar Huelos and his family, like most Americans, watched the I Love Lucy show. But it wasn't for Lucy's antics, it was to see Desi Arnaz. Huelos gave Desi Arnaz a central role in his new novel, The Mambo Kings Play Songs of Love. The story is about two brothers in a mambo band who appear on an episode of Lucy as Desi's singing cousins. The book remembers the mambo craze of the 50s and what the music meant to Cuban Americans. Huelos told me that Desi Arnaz was something of a hero in the Huelos home.
My father, who was definitely very Cuban, coming from Oriente province, which was where Arnaz was born, used to love that show. And I didn't think that it was a plastic image, which a lot of people say it is, the image of Arnaz. I think he did a good job. He was slick. He was also very human at the same time. He was funny. He was a very decent musician. And I think he came off as a very humane entertainer. And it's amazing to me that for 5 years, I Love Lucy was the number one show in the United States. And I think it perhaps had some kind of influence on the way, indirectly, that people have regarded Cubans anyway.
Did you ever meet Desi Arnaz?
No, only in my dreams.
And was he in your dreams? Did you fantasize your family being guests on the show?
No, but I had an uncle who used to play with Xavier Cugat back in the 1930s. He played touring around in Europe and in Miami. The man has been gone for 25 years, but as a kid, he had this house in Miami, and in his garage where he had lots of photographs, there was a photograph of him with Xavier Cugat and also one with Desi Arnaz. So though I'd never met him, I sort of feel this spiritual link.
The two main characters in your novel play in a band called the Mambo Kings. Has that always seemed like the ultimate experience to you, to play in a good, stylish band?
Yeah, definitely. when I was younger, I used to play in bands here and there up in the Bronx, but you know, rock and roll, but all kinds of music. I would think that playing in a big time acoustic band from the 30s, 40s, or even the 50s would be an incredible, liberating, and beautiful experience.
When you were younger, were you ever taken to ballrooms that had the kinds of bands playing that you describe in the book and the kind of dance contests and other contests that were held?
Well, when I was writing the book, I interviewed a lot of the musicians and ballroom hoppers from that era. Mostly when I was a kid, I just went to social clubs and the parties and things. And part of the reason why I wrote the book is, first of all, I love the music and I love the people who sort of are connected with it. So I know people who are rather old who still act like they're rather young, and they still dress elegantly, and they have that lifestyle, which is they go out dancing. I mean, my mother's 78 years old, and I believe she went dancing last year. So it sort of has to do with, I guess, the vibrancy of that epoch. Things have changed. Things have become more superficial, I must say. Everybody's hip. Nobody pays dues. In those days, I think people were more sincere in their lifestyles.
I was wondering if writing this book was, in a way to create a scene that you were too young to experience yourself.
In a word, yes, I think. But it's also meant as a tribute. And I don't think, if you don't write something down, it disappears. The center of the book, which has to do with Desi Arnaz, has much more to do with nostalgia and memory and the way one remembers people who they've loved. I like the idea of using the rerun as a take on memory, but maybe I'm building it up further than to something more than what it is. But I wanted also to do an informal sort of history of the scene.
You mentioned using the rerun as memory. And the rerun is the I Love Lucy program, in which the two brothers, the two members of the Mambo Kings, make a guest appearance. There's a paragraph that relates to that I'd very much like you to read. It's on the opening page.
Uh-huh. Okay. Some months later, I don't know how many, I wasn't 5 years old yet, they began to rehearse for the immortal appearance of my father on this show. For me, my father's gentle rapping on Ricky Ricardo's door has always been a call from the beyond, as in Dracula films or films of The Walking Dead, in which spirits ooze out from behind tombstones and through the cracked windows and rotted floors of gloomy antique halls. Lucille Ball, the lovely red-headed actress and comedian who played Ricky's wife, was house cleaning when she heard the rapping of my father's knuckles against the door. "I'm coming," in her sing-song voice. Standing in her entrance, two men in white silk suits and butterfly-looking lace bow ties, black instrument cases by their side, and black-brimmed white hats in their hands. My father, Nestor Castillo, thin and broad-shouldered, and Uncle Cesar, thick-set and immense. My uncle, "Mrs. Ricardo, my name is Alfonso, and this is my brother Manny." And her face lights up and she says, "Oh yes, the fellows from Cuba. Ricky told me all about you." Then just like that, they're sitting on the couch when Ricky Ricardo walks in and says something like, "Manny, Alfonso, gee, it's really swell that you fellas could make it up here from Havana for the show." That's when my father smiled. The first time I saw a rerun of this, I could remember other things about him.
The two brothers in the Mambo Kings, mm-hmm. the two who make the appearance on I Love Lucy, they both came to the States from Cuba before Castro. They came, what, in the 1940s in your novel?
Yeah, 1949, January.
And they have their band, and they have this guest appearance on the Lucy show, but everything fizzles, and things mm-hmm. things don't turn out like the success that they might have. Was that something that you experienced in your family? Your parents also came to New York from Cuba, I believe, in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm. Well, by fizzled, what do you mean? I don't see the musician brothers as being failures. I just think that they had their moments. I mean, I think the one of the points of the book is that love is very important. And in terms of my own family, my father and mother did come here in the 40s, and they were not rich people, but on the other hand, they produced a novelist and a painter, and under difficult circumstances. So I don't consider that a fizzling out experience.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the whole thing. The book is basically about decent people who are artistic, who don't make it big, but in a way make it big. They make it big in other people's hearts. They make it big in other people's memories. They make it big musically. This, you know, everybody dies sooner or later, and that's a fizzling out, if you want to call it.
The main character in your first novel, when he's 25 and is thinking about his father, says, "Our lives were much different. I'm almost 25. At that age, I've been told my father was running some kind of mail route by burro mm-hmm. in southeastern Cuba. Mm-hmm. Me, I work on East 47th Street in a tall building with a sloping glass front."
Uh-huh.
How autobiographical is that?
I had that feeling, I must say. Yeah, I think I've often asked myself what would my life have been like had I been born 50 years earlier. And I think I would have probably had my father's life, which was to have been born in a farm and then make decisions from there, which is to come to the States or stay there. The thing about Cubans who, of my father's generation, the ironic thing is that if he had stayed in Cuba, he would have left because of the revolution, no doubt. And he was destined to come here, for example.
What brought your parents to the States?
I just think they were fairly ambitious in a way, high-stepping. My father, I think, was an ambitious chap, and I guess he wanted to see something different. And Cubans I've talked to who came here in that period were often talk about just being enamored of the image of the States that they saw from movies, but also it wasn't an impossibility. I mean, people sometimes just went from Cuba to the United States, spent 3 months, went back for years and years and years.
In both of your novels, there's mm-hmm. a character who is devastated by the death of someone close to them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first in the first novel, the mother says after her husband has died, and the son is thinking about the father too. And the mother says, "If you think too much about a dead person, he will think you are calling him."
Mm-hmm.
Is that something your mother ever told you, and would you explain what that means?
Oh, I heard it on some street corner one day. what I think is that, you know, people linger on in memory, and my experience with Cubans is that there's a very strong sense that the dead are not dead, and that for it's not impossible to, I wouldn't say summon them, but they're always with you.
Well, thanks a lot for doing the interview.
Okay, well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.